We begin the current daf from Masechta Ksubos daf Lamed. Begin 10 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we said that our Mishnah opens up Elu Nairis Shishlam Knas. These are the Nairis, which is approximately from 12 to 12 and a half, that if a woman is violated by a man forcibly to have Bia, then he has to pay up a certain penalty of Chamishim Kesef. On that, we explained in the Gemara that our Mishnah was saying novelties. It didn't say the case of a regular Jewish woman. It spoke about, for example, the first and the third categories in the Mishnah, although she's a Chiva Lavan, like Mamzeres Nesino, or a Chiva Krisis, like a Nido, or an Ashes Anachaisai, or Ashes Achiv, other cases like that, where although, as our Gemara explained in the previous daf, it's La'afuke from, let's say, Shimon HaTimni or Shimon Menasseh, who they hold that you need to have a Loisil Isha, the woman that you're going to be required to pay a penalty for, that if a man violated her, is only if it's able to either at least get married to, or even to have to be able to maintain that relationship. However, the Tanna of a Mishnah obviously disagrees with that, because he holds that even if it's Mamzeres Nesina, or even the case of Chiva Krisis, like Achais or Achais Ishtoin, and all the other cases, that still there's going to be a penalty, and therefore the Gemara on the previous daf said that obviously the Tanna of a Mishnah is excluding from Shimon HaTimni and Shimon Menasseh, because they hold that there's no penalty if there's, let's say, Chiva Lavin, where if there's no Kedushim Tavis, or for sure you cannot maintain the relationship. But definitely they would both argue on the case of Chiva Krisis, where Kedushim is not Tavis, and you're not allowed to maintain such a relationship. Hence there's no penalty. Again, not like our Mishnah says that there is such a penalty. Now on that, our Gemara continues, and says that our Mishnah that requires the payment for this penalty of Einis, for someone, let's say in the third category, which spoke about cases of Chiva Krisis, let's say if someone forcibly violates his sister to have Bia. Now, although that is a chiv of Koris by the Bia, so we explain in the Mishnah that besides the fact that we're getting by the problem of Leisi Leisha, that we had the Ribuyim of Habesulais and Hanara that we hold that we include in Mechim Ekrisis, but besides it not being like Rav Shimon ben Asa Shimon HaTimni, it's also La Fuki Ibn Rav Chunin ben Akana. Obviously, our Mishnah is also not going like Rav Chunin ben Akana, the Tanna Glinda Braisa. Rav Chunin ben Akana, Hayyase es Yemek Yipurim Kishabis Litashlumin. Rav Chunin ben Akana equated the violation of a malacha on Yom Kippurim to the same as when one violates a malacha on Shabbos in regards to having to pay money for damages. So, for example, if someone is going to be lighting someone else's pile of grain on fire on Yom Kippurim, it would be as if he did that same lighting someone else's pile of grain on Shabbos, which means Ma Shabbos, just like by Shabbos, where if one violates a malacha of, let's say, burning someone else's grain, where that's a misa of Bezdin, gets killed in Bezdin, and we find that Mischai benav shayu parta menat teshlumin, that it's what's called kimli b'dirabmine. We don't give him both punishments, which is a monetary payment, which he does for damaging the person's grain, and at the time when he was burning the grain, not only was he incurring a financial penalty, but also a capital punishment, because he's getting Mises Bezdin for doing a chil Shabbos. Now, you don't get both penalties. The Mishnah later on teaches us, regarding, it's taught in the context of halacha, if someone has bia with his daughter, that we learn that from the Pasuk, as the Gemara will elaborate on this shortly, where it says in the Pasuk, v'liyeh asin, when there is no capital punishment, then anish yanish, then you get a financial punishment. You can't get both. And therefore, when you're doing chil Shabbos at the same time destroying someone else's grain, you're going to get only the death penalty and not have to pay for the violation, for what you did to the other person's damage. So Rav Chunin kind of said, af Yom Kippurim, same thing applies to Yom Kippur, where although there's no Mises Bezdin, you don't get killed in the courts for doing malacha, but there's a punishment of Karis, where from Shemayim they kill the person, where it's also again a person's life is being taken away. So the same halacha applies, Mischai benav shay upat ben tashlumin. So he equates the two. There also you'll be liable for your life, but at the same time you'll be exempt from payment. And that's obviously what our Mishnah is not like, Yerim Nuchanim Lakonim, because our Mishnah says that although this person is being ma'anis, let's say his sister, where there is a chiv of karis, and yet still we see that there is a financial obligation of the knas of being ma'anis, which obviously is not like Yerim Nuchanim Lakonim, because he says that not only b'chiv misses bezin, which again our Mishnah agrees to, and that's why it only picks chiv akrisis, then Rav Chunin ben Akana says, not only chiv misses bezin, but even chiv akaris, you do say kimla v'rabbanei, you would only get karis and not pay the penalty, and our Mishnah is obviously not like him. Now though that we introduced Reb Nachman ben Elkanah, so the Gemara wonders, my time under Reb Nachman ben Elkanah. What's the reasoning of his opinion? Where does he see fit to necessarily equate Chiva Karas to Chiv Mrs. Bezin? Chiv Mrs. Bezin is definitely a more stringent type of a violation. Maybe only over there we say that that's such a stringent punishment, so then you don't pay. Who said the same thing would apply to Chiva Karas, which obviously our Mishnah agrees to that question. And they say that you don't say Kim L'Rabnei by Karas. You only say by Chiv Mrs. Bezin. So Abaya says Nimra. It says in the Pasuk Shemais, which this Pasuk is in Perchav Alf Pasuk Yud Chav Beis, where it's told in the context of Echinotzu Anoshim. If men are fighting, V'nokvu Ishahara, then when one person is clobbering the other, he bangs a pregnant woman. Now, V'yasi Yuladah, and that caused her to miscarry. Now, it says in the Pasuk V'loyia Asin, which this can be translated a few different ways, but literally it sounds like the Pashup Shad is that. And the woman wasn't, there was no fatality, which means to say that the woman didn't die. So onish, then the person's not having a capital case. It's only regarding the financial obligation of the fetus. Then you pay for the penalty for how much the fetus that was caused in the loss. Now, however, Abaye interprets asin, when it says v'li asin, that if there's no fatality, that that's talking about bidei adam. As Rashi interprets, he means to say that if there's no Mrs. Bezdin for the person that hurt this pregnant woman, which means to say if he's not getting the death penalty for having killed her, which means to say that when there's no Mrs. Bezdin for him, then it's as the pasuk concludes, Anishi Anish. Then he pays the financial obligation of what's called Dimei Vladis, the value of how much the child, the unborn child, would have been. So we see from there, and this is what we just alluded to just before, that regarding Chiv Mrs. Bezdin, which is the source that everyone agrees to, is that if Eloya Asin, if there's no fatality for the person himself who is liable for these obligations, meaning he doesn't get Chiv Mrs. Bezdin, oh, then on the Shanish, then he'll pay the financial obligation, but it sounds like. But if you have a Chiv Mrs. Bezdin, then you're not going to have to pay the money. Now, the Nember, it also says a Pasuk in Bereishis, Asin, it says, use the same term of Asin, the fatality, B'dei Shemayim, where when Yaakov was warning the brothers, he says, no, I'm not letting Binyamin go down with you to Mitzrayim, even though the second in command had commanded that you bring down to Binyamin, because it says, U'kura'ahu Asin, that a fatality will happen to him. No, so Abai explains, Reb Nachman ben Elkanah says the following comparison, Ma Asin, Amar B'dei Adam, just like Asin over there in the context of the pregnant woman, where that's a reference to the violator, not that it's talking about what type of fatality of mankind, meaning of Mrs. Bezdin. And we said when it says over there asin, then he'll be patur mitashlum, as we just explained, it's only when there's no asin, then he has to pay with the mevladis. But if there is a asin, then if he gets Mrs. Bezdin, then he's exempt from payment. Sa'af asin ha'amah b'dei shemayim patur mitashlum, so we can make the same comparison. So when Yaakov Avinu referenced to the brothers to say that no, something dangerous is going to happen on the road, which is talking about a mishap that could happen from heaven, meaning some type of incremental situation. So then we find the same thing, that it uses the term asin. So, and even though that's b'dei shemayim, so we say that there too also, that when there's asin b'dei shemayim, then you'll be part of the shulman. So you see the same thing regarding karis, that it's the same as Mrs. Bezdin, that although that's b'dei adam and this is b'dei shemayim, but we see the term asin is said in both, and just like over there, asin is patur from tashlum, and here also asin will be patur from tashlum. Now, on this interpretation of Abaya, Maskevler of Adbar Abba, he asks, Mimaydechi komazer lehu Yaakov lebnei. From where do you know that when Yaakov was warning his children, the rest of the Shvatim, and he said, no, an asin, a fatality is going to happen to Binyamin on the way down to Egypt, just like it happened to his brother, how do you know that it's altsin l'mapachim? How do you know that he was warning them about it's the weather, that because he's going to get sick of the cold or of the heat? The b'dei shemayim, they know that that's by the hand of heaven. And that's how you're learning that, oh, it says asin by b'dei shemayim, because by Yaakov, he was warning about something that could happen in the world. Maybe he was warning them about an asin, the fatality that happened to Binyamin, because a lion or thieves or bandits, which are b'dei adam, which is not through heaven, it's not through other things, it's through people, through animals, where again, that's through different beings. So how can you learn over there to say, oh, it says asin over there, b'dei shemayim, and therefore that's how we know this halacha b'dei shemayim, being exempt from tashlumin, that asin is also maybe b'dei adam. And therefore you don't see a source for us in Bidei Shemayim to be potter from Teshlamin? So that the Abaya answers, Atu Yaakov, aho azar, aho loy azar. What do you mean? You think Yaakov, when he was warning, he was concerned for the safety of his son Binyamin? He was only warning about Bidei Adam and not Bidei Shemayim? You're right. Maybe he was concerned about lions and thieves. But Yaakov, I'll call me Liazar. Yaakov was warning the brothers about everything. He was concerned about Bidei Adam, of lions and thieves. And he was also concerned about Bidei Shemayim, about the weather. And therefore, since obviously he was warning about everything, and the term Asin there is including even Bidei Shemayim, so we can learn out Asin from Bidei Adam and say, just like over there, you're potter from Teshlumen, here also you're going to be potter from Teshlumen. Now, regarding this conversation of Rabbi Abba's question, the Gemara wonders, what was his question in the first place? Rav Abba made it sound like that, oh, who said that Yaakov Avinu was warning about the Bidei Shemayim, which was Tzinim Apachim, maybe he was warning about Bidei Adam, which is lions and thieves. But on that, the Gemara asks, actually, it's the reverse on both of them. Because do you think cold and hot is Bidei Shemayim? That's actually something bad happening to the person because of what heaven has dictated? But by time when the Brisa, exactly the opposite. The Brisa says, Hakol B'dei Shemayim, actually everything is in the hand of heaven. What do you think is really happening from someone else doing to you? It's actually all being orchestrated by Hashem and Shemayim. Which means to say that if a punishment happens to a person, it's actually a decree from the king, from Hashem. Chutz mitzinim pachem, except for hot and cold. Because actually sometimes when the person becomes ill from the weather, it's actually the person's own negligence. It's not B'dei Shemayim. Shneimak says the pasuk in Mishlei says tzina pachem mederech ikish. This the hot and cold weather is on the perverse road. Shemenashi yichak mem. Someone that watches his self will distance himself from it, which means that it's in the person's own control, and therefore it's b'dei adam. Why are you calling that b'dei shemayim? V'su, moreover, are you v'ganav b'dei adam ninu? Do you think that when a lion or thieves that Yaakov was concerned about that would actually be considered something that was caused by mankind? And not from a decree of the king? But V'amar, Rabbi Yisrael said, V'chein ton Reb Chiya, Miyam Shachar Beis HaMikdash, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Afa Pisha Batla Sanhedrin, even though there's no more Sanhedrin, the great Bezdin that can enforce the halachas of capital punishment, but Abra Mises Le Batlu, the four deaths that they used to mete out, that has not stopped. So the Gemara wonders, Loi Batlu? What do you mean, it didn't stop? Ho Batlu? Of course, no, there's no Bezdin that you're going to find that's going to execute capital punishment. So Ella, rather, what does that statement mean to say? As we continue on to Amid Beis, Din Arba Mises Leibatlu, the judgment, the justice of the four types of death, that has not stopped. And there are punishments that are very similar, and we can notice that pattern. We can know that this is actually executing the person the way that he was supposed to be executed. As the Gemara explains, Mishun Eschayev Skila, someone that was liable for to be stoned. So then, either he falls off a roof, which is similar to being stoned, because the first phase of being stoned was they would push him off from the what's called the Beis HaSkila, the house of where he was stoned, all the way to the ground, which was two stories high, as the Gemara explains in Masechet Sanhedrin. So if he falls off the roof, that was part of Misa HaSkila. Or an animal, a wild animal, pounces on him, where the lion, for example, throws him down to the ground and kills him by pouncing on him, that's part of skila. Umishin is chayav sreif, or someone that's liable for to be killed through being burnt, where actually that was by hot lead pour, molten lead poured down the person's throat, but that burnt in, up the whole person's insides. So then, oynefe baleika, either he falls in the fire, which again is that the insides are going to be burnt up, oynochash makisha, or a snake bites him, and then the poison will burn up in his insides. Umishin is chayav harika, someone that's liable for to be killed by the sword. So Einim Salamalchas, either he's given over to the government and they chop off his head, they behead him with a sword, because that's the way the governments used to kill people in those days. That's the Misa of Saif. Or bandits go ahead and kill him that way. And Mishan is Chayef Chanak, and someone that's liable for being choked, then Oiteve Ben Nahar, either he drowns in the river, which again, he dies by being choked with the water, or he dies with Srunche, which is what's called Askara, which is choking, a person cannot breathe, choking in the throat. And again, so therefore, all the Arba Mises Bezdin are actually still around. Now, therefore, the Gemara's question is, so exactly the exact opposite of what you said. You were asking who said that Yaakov was saying B'dei Shemayim, which is hot and cold. Maybe he was talking about B'dei Adam, which is lions and thieves. You actually see the exact opposite. And this is where we see that what we think is reality is exactly not. where actually hot and cold is a person, could be a person's own liability. That could be the Adam. But the Shemaim is actually the lion and the person, where although you think that it's them, it's really Gezeres Melech. So the Gemara concedes, you know, Ela Epech, rather, it's exactly the opposite. Aryeh v'ganovi b'dei shemayim, the reference of what's in the hands of heaven, that's actually the lion and the bandit. And tin mepachem and the adam, the element of being done by the person, by people, that's actually hot and cold, where the person himself is doing it. But either way, that was the Gemara's answer by saying that both of them, Yaakov is warning his sons, and therefore one of them is the b'dei shemayim, which again, now we understand it's actually the aryeh v'ganovi. And but since it says asan over there and asan b'dei adam, we could learn out that just like over there you're exempt from tashlumin, so to Abaye says, Ibn Chaim HaKana learns, we see asan b'dei shemayim, you'll be exempt from tashlumin. Now Ravam, he says a different interpretation. He says, Tamid Ibn Chaim HaKana mehachar. He learns of a different source from a pasuk in Vayikra. The pasuk says, Vimhalim yalimu ama'oretz eseneim min ha'ishahu, that if the people of the land will divert their eyes from that man. In other words, they will not enforce the Chiv Mises Bezin, which this person is supposed to be killed by the hands of the court. Besita Mizar LaMelech, because he gave over his children to this Avodah Zarah of Melech, which would be a vicious type of idol worship where the person who's bringing his children with his Melech has to be killed. Now, Hashem is saying that I see you're not going ahead and killing this person in the courts. So Vesamte Ani Esponeh B'Ishahu B'Mishmach Tisa, Hashem says, I'm going to put my face in that man and in his family. V'chratu Yaseh, and I'm going to kill him, I'm going to do chorus to him. Now what we see is from that pasuk is that Hashem doing chorus to a person is the exchange and the equivalent of the Mises Besdin that we're supposed to do. So on that, Rava says, Amar Torah, the Torah is saying, Chorus Shali, Kamisa Shalochem, my chorus, Hashem says, is the same thing of your Mises Besdin, which means, Ma Mises Shalochem Patim and Atashlumen, just like your death, when you kill a person, he's then exempt from payment. As we said, that's what's called kimli b'drabinei. Specifically, as we said in the pasuk, v'lo yeh asin anish anish. Only if there's no fatality in the courts, then he pays financial. But if he gets, then he's exempt. Saf karas shali patim tashlumin. So I'm equating my karas to your chiv Mrs. Bezin. Then also, if you're getting karas, you can be exempt from tashlumin. That's the source of Rava. So the Gemara wonders, Ma'ika ben Rav Labai, what is the halachic difference between the two interpretations of Ibn Chaim and Akana that we see even by Karis, a person is going to be exempt from Teshlumen? So Ikmenai, the Gemara says, the difference between them is going to be Zar She'achol Truma, that if a non-Koyin deliberately eats Truma, where then the person gets not Mises Bezdin, and not Karis, but rather only what's called Misa B'dei Shemayim, death at the hands of heaven. Now, what's the difference between that and Karis? The difference is because Karis is, not only does he get punished, but his children also get punished. As the pasuk says in Yikachav, Arir Miyu, that he's going to die childless, so his children also die. So that the Gemara explains, La Abaye Pater. According to Abaye, not only when there's Chiv Mises Bezin, which is according to everybody, and not only calling, not even by a case of Karis, which everyone agrees is by Mechon Ba'akana, but even by this case of when the non-Kohen eats Truma Zar, that he only gets a lower level, he only gets Mises Bezdin, if he stole this Truma and he ate it, where then there's an obligation of Tashlumen of the theft and of the fact that you destroyed it because you ate it up, which is also Achiv Mises B'dei Shemayim, you can be exempt from the Tashlumen of Gezela. And the reason is because he learns it out. It says asan over there, and it says asan b'dei shemayim. Now, when it says a fatality of b'dei shemayim, that's any misa b'dei shemayim, whether that of karis or whether that of non-karis of misa b'dei shemayim, where it's not affecting his children. So, if according to Abaye, you'd still be exempt. But on the Rav Achayv, according to Rav's source, Rav only learned it out from v'hichrati oisei, which is karis. Karis is more severe. Maybe over there, such a severe penalty of a fatality, then you're going to be exempt from tashlumen. But according to Rava, since the Zar Shachal Truma doesn't get karas only Mises B'dei Shemayim, you actually will be liable for the Tashlumen too. So that's what the Gemara says is going to be the halachic difference between the two of them. But on that, the Gemara asks, Ul Abaye Pater, is that really true that according to Abaye, you're going to be exempt? And that is, although we understand, yes, clearly according to Abaye's source, that not only is karas going to be exempting from Tashlumen, but even Mises B'dei Shemayim, as we learned, because Asan includes any Mises B'dei Shemayim. But the problem is, the case that we're talking about is that there's a monetary liability because you stole something, and there's also a capital punishment because you went and consumed their truma. Now the problem is that this person that ate the truma that he stole, is he really going to be exempt for the theft of what he stole of the truma? But Vam Rav Chizda said that Moider Ibn Chunim ben Akana, Ibn Chunim ben Akana himself agrees. If someone steals his friend's forbidden fats and he consumes it, Ibn Chunim ben Akana agrees that he will be liable for the payment of the theft of those forbidden fats. Now, why is that? Although that's a chiyuv misa, and he holds any chiyuv misa, anytime you lose your life, you're exempt from the payment. The reason is because they didn't happen at the same time. Kimle b'drabmin is necessary that if it happened at the same time, then we give you the greater punishment. But here, you first were liable in the theft. First you stole it, and then you ate the forbidden fats. So amo that what we see from Rav Chizda's halacha and Rav Nachman ben Akana, that amo de me'idna de'ag be'kanye, we see that because the moment that you picked it up, you acquired it. From that moment is when you became liable in the payment of the geneva. So the chiv tashlumin already started then. But the liability for one's life to be killed would only happen when he then went and ate it. Although it seems like you did it at the same time, you took it and you ate it. But there are seconds, even nanoseconds, where you pick it up, you're liable. So it's not at the same time. And then you go ahead and you eat it. So therefore, you're going to be liable for both, even according to Ibn Chunim ben Akana. And therefore, the Gemara asks, here also, when the non-kain, when the czar, picks up the truma that he's stealing, so then he acquires it at that moment. At that moment, he's chayv in teshlumin, even if he doesn't eat it, even if it gets burnt up. Now, meschayv benafshu lehavado achale, and the liability to his own life didn't happen until he ate it. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, that even according to Abaya, you should be chayv for teshlumin. How is this a case of difference between Abaya and Rava? Here, Abaya should agree that yes, although he holds that Misa B'dei Shemaim exempts him from Teshlumin, but that's only if it happens at the same time. And here it's not at the same time, so here he should agree that you're Chayiv. So the Gemara answers, Nahach Mayaskin, here what we're talking about is that they actually are happening simultaneously. How? We're talking about that the non-kohen, the czar, his friend went and pushed the Truma into his mouth. So therefore, this non-kain never picked it up, never acquired it. He's not chayv in the tashlumin of theft, because he didn't steal it, his friend pushed it in his mouth. Now, there will be a chiv tashlumin, because when he swallows the truma, which that person didn't do to him, he just stuffed it in his mouth, then he has to pay what's called the pleasure of his stomach. Not the entire payment of how much the value of the item was, because that he didn't do that. It's just how much pleasure he had by swallowing that truma. Now, that same moment when he swallows, that's when he gets the chiv misa. And therefore, they're happening at the same time. When he swallows and he gets that pleasure, is when the chiv tashlumin of that pleasure, which you have to pay the person that it was stolen from, you didn't steal it, but you have to pay for that pleasure. And that's the same moment when you chiv misa for eating truma. And that's why that's going to be the case of where it would apply kimle b'dramine, and therefore, according to Abai, you're going to be exempt. And according to Rava, you're going to be chiv. Again, because Rav only says by Karas in Rav Nachman ben Akana, not in Misa B'dei Shemayim. Now the Gemara asks, you can still break this case up. We can get down to the nanoseconds, and that is Saif, ultimately. Kiven de la'ase kanye, since he chews it, yes, it's in his mouth. When he chews it, that's when he acquires it. And because he didn't give it back. Why are you chewing it? You're destroying it. You're ruining it when you're chewing it. And therefore, you acquired it for your kinyan gezela, and then that's when you become liable for that. But the liability for his life only happened when he swallowed it, not happening at the same time. So therefore, even Abai should agree that you be chayv and tashlumin. So how is this a case that would differentiate between Abai and Rava? So the Gemara refines the case conceptualization. His friend didn't just stick it into his mouth. His friend stuck it down into his throat where he swallows. Now the Gemara asks, Hechadami, what is that case talking about? And that is as follows. If he could still bring it back up and take it out of his mouth, well then nehadur. Then he should have to take it out. And therefore, as Rashi explains, if when he doesn't spit it back out, from that moment, he's already destroying it. By not spitting it out, what are you doing maintaining it? You are destroying it at that moment. Now, because the first person didn't do anything, he's not liable for the kain anything. Because you could spit it back out. So if he didn't, so then actually you should be liable then before you even swallow it. So then you should be chayv in tashlumin. And ilay motzi la'adura, and if you can't get it back out, amai chayiv, why you even chayiv misa? You're what's called an oinus. Well, because somebody pushed it in my throat where I can't even get it out. There's no chayiv misa. So how would this be a good case to conceptualize abaya different than rava? To say that you'd be chayiv for misa and exempt from tashlumin, how? If you could get it out, then you're chayiv for the hezek before you even swallowed it. And if you can't get it out, then you shouldn't be chayiv in the misa. So the Gemara says, Loi tzrich es tumat demotzi la'adura dehatchak. He could get it back out, but only with extreme conditions. And therefore, meaning even if he's going to get it out, it's going to be disgusting. And it's not going to be fit for the owners once he spits it back out. Now, therefore, it's not true. He's not stealing it. By maintaining it and not spitting it out, that's not considered as being mazikit, as if he's stealing it. Now, you're right. There will be a monetary payment that he's required, but that's only, again, when he swallows it, when then he has the pleasure of his throat and his stomach. Now, the moment when he swallows it, it is the same moment when he's consuming the truma, which is a liability of misa, b'dei shemayim, and therefore, according to Abaya, then he would hold in Rav Chanina Kana that there would be kamle b'dramne misa b'dei shemayim. But again, according to Rava, he would hold that you would be chayiv because Rav Chanina Kana only says it in Karas according to his source and not a p'tur in misa b'dei shemayim. Now, the Gemara brings two different options how to say this case. That's the difference between Abaya and Rava. A papa, but he says you don't have to go ahead and have such what's called a deichik teretz, such a contrived case where somebody stuffed it into somebody's throat. Rather, you could say even simpler. It's talking about lechaver mashkin shal truma techpip, when his friend went and pushed beverages of truma into his mouth. Now, here, very simply, you could say that once his friend put a beverage of truma in his mouth, it's already disgusted. It's not like a solid that you could spit out and then it could still be usable. And therefore, you cannot be liable by maintaining it of gezela because it's not fit for anything to spit it back out. So by maintaining it in your mouth, you're not considered a goslin. Rather, the only liability of the beverage for the kayin would be for the pleasure of the swallowing of his throat and the stomach. Oh, that's the same moment when you're getting a chiv misa and tashlum, and therefore, since the boim kecha that happened at the same time, that would be nalak rev chizda, that would be possible for a case of kimla v'jabmane. And again, that would be the case of the difference between Abai and Rava, that Abai would hold that you'd be pater, and Rava would hold that you would be chayv. Rav Asher, I mean, he says a different way of having this case, not like Rav Papa, and definitely not like the first teretz. Rav Asher, I mean, says, bizarre she'ochel truma mishaloi. We're talking about when a non-kohen eats his own truma. Now, however, as we continue the top of Laman Aleph and Aleph, v'kara shirayin shel chaveri. And at the same time that he's swallowing truma, he's tearing his friend's cloth. Now, although that the reason why he's getting killed is not because of the money that he damaged, he's still going to be exempt. And that's because Rav Ashi holds, and this is a discussion in Masechta Sanhedrin, he holds when there's misa lezeh v'tashlumin lezeh, you're still pater. Even though if what you did wasn't one action, but if it happened at the same time, even though you're liable for death because of one person, because of one thing, we're here, you're eating truma, and the punishment, the financial penalty is for a different reason because you're tearing someone else's cloth, but if it happens at the same time, so then you could say, Kim L'Rabbanei, even Rav Chizda would agree that Rav Nachman Makana would hold that you would be exempt, and since it's talking about a case of Misa, B'dei Shemayim, as we explained, that's the punishment of Truma, that would be a good case to conceptualize the difference between Abai and Rava, that according to Abai, you'd be exempt, because he says, Asan, includes any Misa B'dei Shemayim, whereas according to Rava, you would be chayiv because that you would be chayiv for the tearing the person's cloth, because although it happens at the same time, but the penalty of death is on the Misa B'dei Shemayim, and Rava learns it out from a chayiv of Kars, v'chrati, not a Misa B'dei Shemayim, and therefore you'd be chayiv.